Good morning and welcome once again to In Focus. I'm John Sims and joining us this morning, Danielle Atterbury. Danielle is the Development Director of St. Paul Children's Foundation in Tyler. And we've had St. Paul on many times, but time for an update, as is always the case in situations like this. Good morning, Danielle. Great to have you with us.
Good morning, John. Thanks so much for having me.
Don't forget, InFocus is available online. Just go to ktbb.com/InFocus, and InFocus is uploaded to our website by the day after the show airs. Danielle, you've been the development director, I believe, since last May.
That's correct.
And I'm sure it's been a very interesting and worthwhile experience for you.
Oh, my goodness, yes. What an incredible mission they have over at St. Paul Children's Foundation. It's been a joy being a part of that team.
And what is that mission? Let's talk about that. And again, for those who need a refresher course or who maybe just don't know, a little bit of the history and then on into the mission, vision, et cetera. Who
of
are
course,
you? What do you do?
Of course. So, of course, I'll start with our values. Our values are children, community, faith, family, health, and service. Our mission is that all children are deserving of good health and unlimited opportunities for a joyful and productive future. St. Paul Children's Foundation is dedicated to offering faith-based programs and services promoting quality care and healthy lifestyle choices.
All right, that pretty much sums it up.
And,
and the story. It's not the first time we've told this story.
Sure.
I think we've got we're batting 1,000 on telling the story every time we do a show with St. Paul. But let's go back to the very beginnings and what was going on in the neighborhood where St. Paul is located back in the 1980s and how all that changed because of one incident that maybe people weren't really thinking about too much at the time.
Of course, yes. It's an incredible story. You know, the neighborhood that we're kind of nestled in between Front and Irwin, it used to be a different neighborhood back in the late 80s and early 90s. There were... let's say, activities that were dangerous, gang-related activities that were happening in that area. It was an unsafe place for children. But there was, I think the story that many people have told before, a little boy rode up on his bike to this little church nestled away in our neighborhood, St. Paul United Methodist Church, and asked a woman, you know, would it be okay if he attended church there? And she said, well, yes, of course, and he was a bit confused because he thought that only white people could attend that church.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, was the moment that God kind of did a heart transplant and really implemented this vision in the heart of that volunteer and said, you know, hey, we've got to make some changes here in this neighborhood. So she went to her Sunday school class and said, okay, ladies, what are we going to do to fix this? You know, there are people in this neighborhood that feel like they can't worship with us, and they have needs, and we need to meet those needs. And so the idea was born, and St. Paul Children's Foundation, while it happened in 1996, the beginning workings of that happened in the early 90s when Dr. William Reed came and was volunteering to give vaccinations, and the ladies were meeting the needs with food and clothing and really serving the community by action. You know, we did a little post earlier this morning about how sympathy is not a substitute for action. And so we can feel sympathetic and see the needs that need to be met. But until we meet them, we're not doing much. So that's how St. Paul's being productive over in our neighborhood and how it all kind of started.
Mm-hmm. It's always struck me as a little bit like the old stone soup fable. It's starting with one little stone, just one little incident or encounter, and the next thing you know, you've got this foundation that's serving what, up to 30 counties around East Texas?
Yes, exactly.
Amazing. So here we are in 2019, and you're at 1358 East Richard Street. First of all, that is on the east side of Tyler, between Front Street and Irwin Street.
Correct.
Landmarks on Front Street, DeHaven Eye Clinic, on Irwin Street, Don Juan Mexican Restaurant. And if you turn in the right direction from either of those two places, before too long, you will be at St. Paul Children's Foundation. The actual address is 1358 East Richards. You have several facilities with different addresses and phone numbers spread around that campus, but 1358 East Richards is the main address. Phone number is 903-595-5525, and that'll get you pretty much anywhere you want to go on the campus. And the website, stpaulchildren.org. Lots of information on there.
Yes.
Okay, we've talked about the very beginnings and how you got to where you are today. Now you have a number of different local missions and you're meeting needs in our communities, plural, service region, about 30 counties.
Yes.
And that varies not Every service that you offer is offered in every one of those 30 counties, but still it's just really, it's always been amazing to me how it's evolved from those raw beginnings, if you will. Talking to Danielle Atterbury with the St. Paul Children's Foundation. And Tyler, I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. Let's get into some of the basic information now, programs and services. And we can take them one by one and just talk about what you do with each. And I guess the food pantry is as good a place to start as any.
Yes, of course. So our food pantry is available to clients, like you said, all throughout East Texas. It's not limited to Smith County. Thankfully, we're able to serve lots of people that come through our doors and make sure that they feel loved and cherished and valued, and then on top of meeting their physical needs. So clients are able to come every 30 days. They're able to come and get food for their family. We are a client choice pantry, so we offer a grocery list of all of the available foods we have that day, in addition to fresh produce, because we are trying to our best to be a healthy pantry. We allow them to choose those items that they'd like to take home to their family. And then while our amazing volunteers shop for their food, our clients are able to go into our clothing closet, which does not just have clothes. It's actually full of household items, toys for the kids, books for everyone in the home. Items such as towels or sheets, glassware, things that maybe wouldn't necessarily be something that would fit into a normal budget, but still are needs in the household. So we love to be able to help with those things as well.
Pediatric, medical, and dental clinics. I guess that started early on. Was the gentleman that you mentioned, Dr. William Ward, I believe?
Dr. William Reed,
excuse me. He was the one who, I guess, really kind of jump-started that whole thing,
yes.
And how it has grown since then. What do you have going on now within those pediatric, medical, and dental clinics?
Well, they are very busy right now. Lots of, unfortunately, positive flu tests is what we've got going right now in our pediatric medical clinic. It's that time of year. But they are an amazing staff. They do a wonderful job. They're taking care of people. And our pediatric clinics kind of work on a sliding scale based on income. So we are not denying anybody access to quality medical health care. We want everyone in our community to be able to have access to that. So they're doing an amazing job. They have plenty of people coming to visit them. I think, let's see, in 2018, we had how many encounters? 9,600 patients that came through our medical clinic.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. And we had 4,700 patients come through our dental clinic. So our clinics stay very busy. Our clinics are, medical clinic specifically, is open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. Our dental clinic is Monday through Thursday, 7:30 to 5:30. And we've actually added an additional dentist. So we're able to see more patients now that we have an additional dentist on staff.
And it's a little bit early to be talking about summer, but I don't know, with some of this weather we've been having, I guess it's kind of fun to look ahead.
Yes.
You have a summer program that's really
yes.
big on your list.
Yes, if you are needing some sunshine, we can definitely talk about our summer program. We have a wonderful staff member, Jackie Erlinson, who does an amazing job with our summer program. We have kids that are there, and we can feed them lunch with the help of our friends at the East Texas Food Bank who bring lunches. We have some friends from local churches who come and do drama and acts and just hang out and play with the kids. We love making children feel loved and valued and cherished at St. Paul, and that's exactly what that program does for those kiddos. That gives them a place to go during the summer. And also, it's great for the moms. They get together. They have Zumba classes. There's workshops and other classes where you can learn different things, urban agriculture and taking care of animals, all sorts of things that they're trying to improve the lives of the families in our neighborhood.
Okay, and we're just getting started here. You have a couple of special programs you want to talk about. You have Khakis for Kids, which is coming up, and Santa's Secret Workshop, which just recently wrapped up and is
yes.
still a few months away as far as the next one is
sure.
concerned. But let's talk about those, too.
Of course. Khakis for Kids is an amazing program where we get to help provide uniform vouchers for school-age children who are going to schools that require uniforms, and also a brand-new pair of athletic shoes, 5 new pairs of socks and 5 new pairs of underwear for each school-age child in the family. I remember back in elementary school when having a brand new pair of shoes meant that I could run way faster and I could jump so much higher. I could keep up with all of the other fast kids. And that's what a new pair of shoes and a clean school uniform will do for a child. It'll
mm-hmm.
inspire confidence in them. And that's what we want for these children that are going into schools. We want them to enter with confidence, because that's going to positively impact their grades, their performance, their conduct, everything. So Helping a child with something as simple as a new pair of shoes and a brand new school uniform can mean a world of a difference for a child.
Talking to Danielle Atterbury this morning, Development Director for St. Paul Children's Foundation in Tyler, I'm John Sims. This is In Focus, and we move on to Santa's Secret Workshop. Always a lot going on around the holiday season in East Texas, and how does Santa's Secret Workshop work into that big scheme?
Absolutely. So Santa's Secret Workshop is a really cool program, too, where we get to meet the needs of families by helping them when it's a time when things can be a little bit financially tough. There's a lot to do in the month of December, whether you're celebrating Christmas or celebrating another holiday. Usually there's some additional gift purchasing that's happening, and so that can create a financial burden for families. But then we want, at the same time, for children that are going to school with other children who Santa is bringing amazing toys, we want them to experience the same magical Christmas morning. So Santa's Secret Workshop is set up in our annex building, which is located across the street, directly across from our medical clinic. We have an amazing volunteer named Lynn Cooper, who has done this program for many years, along with her daughter Jenny. And they, along with countless other volunteers that pour so many hours into this program, help us to run toy drives with local businesses and churches. And we organize the toys to be like a little store, Santa's Secret Workshop. We have our quote-unquote elves in the back that are ready to wrap all of the gifts for the families. We have the parent and guardian come in. They get to choose the gifts, three gifts per child and their family. We wrap them for them. We put the bows on. We put the tags. We send them on their way, and it is magical. It's so much fun. I think it could only be better if we got to be there Christmas morning to see the smiles on the faces of these children that this program is benefiting.
Well, with all the internet and social media capabilities nowadays, I think it's probably a little bit easier to do that, too.
Sure.
Okay. You serve people in 30 counties.
We
but
do.
Let's not forget that you started as a neighborhood ministry. Is your focus still on the people in the neighborhood, or is it really kind of moved beyond that and more for just everybody and anybody?
Well, obviously, we still have lots of people in our neighborhood that are coming to see us, as well as participating in those special programs like our free classes that Miss Jackie offers with our ESL and our dance classes. But, of course, the mission and the area of service is continually growing. I mean, we have needs that are constantly becoming, we're becoming aware of them in our community. And then, of course, we don't want to meet that with just sympathy. We want to meet that with action. So that's how our programs continue to form and grow and spread throughout East Texas.
There was one thing that we haven't talked about yet that I wanted to cover, and that is Andrews Park and Kid. And this is your fenced pocket park. And that's
yes.
just kind of a jewel of its own. It can be used for so many things.
It is. That is the safe place that was created back in the early 90s when there wasn't a safe place for children to play. That was an issue, you know, and so that need was met by creating Andrews Park and Kid Field. It's a wonderful place. That's where a lot of our summer activities take place. It's where kids go to play and feel safe. And also we have the availability for rental for that park. So if there are local families that are needing a place to have a birthday party or a special event, they can rent the park for a minimal cost and have a safe place to do that.
Mm-hmm. And while we're on that topic, how people can get in touch to rent the park or to get
sure.
any of your various services. First of all, let's repeat that contact information. Address is 1358 East Richards in Tyler on the east side of town between Front and Irwin. And phone number is 903-595-5525. Your website is stpaulchildren.org. Let's talk briefly now about criteria. Obviously, different people are going to qualify for or have well, different people are going to have different needs and qualify for different things that you offer. But are there general criteria? I mean, obviously, certain things are open to the public. Andrews Park, for example. But let's just kind of cut to the chase. Is the best way to find out about whether you qualify for a given program or whether it's the right fit for you just to call or drop by?
Yes. So please do call. We would love to be helpful. As far as criteria goes, if you have a need, we're going to do what it takes to meet it. We don't have, like we've talked about, we're not limited to just Smith County residents. We're able to help people, and we enjoy serving people. We enjoy meeting needs. So we would hope that anyone in the community that has a need would feel free and welcome to come and visit with us and let us know what's going on and how we can help.
And on that note, do you have regular office hours if people just want to drop in and chat with you?
Absolutely. So our food pantry clothing closet is open Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 9 in the morning until noon, and then again in the afternoon from 2 to 5. And as I mentioned before, our medical clinic is open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and our dental clinic is open Monday through Thursday, 7:30 to 5:30.
And we are talking to Danielle Atterbury with St. Paul Children's Foundation in Tyler. Phone number 903-595-5525, website stpaulchildren.org, and the address 1358 East Richards Street in Tyler. With all the Google Map and GPS capabilities nowadays, it hardly seems necessary to give out landmarks, although not everybody has access to that technology. So that address 1358 East Richards and the phone number, I would say, are paramount. And that phone number, again, 903-595-5525. Accomplishments. You've talked a little bit about this already, but I don't think we covered the whole waterfront on that. What are some of the other accomplishments over, say, the past year that you'd like to share with us?
Sure. So we actually have our accomplishments flyer that's going to be available on our website as well, so you'll be able to pull up this information later if you so wish. But let's see. In 2018, we provided more than 173 tons of food to East Texans through the gifts of our faithful supporters, and we fed an average of 3,025 people each month through our food pantry, and this represents 2,930 households throughout East Texas. 806 of those were brand new clients in 2018. So that's how we measure that this need truly is growing. Our donations allowed us, the donations that were provided for us, allowed us to distribute over 103,100 items through our clothing closet. And again, that's not just clothing. That's things like towels, sheets, other types of bedding, books, toys, glassware. You know, when's the last time you had to buy silverware? You know, stuff like that that you don't even think about.
Yeah.
With the support of our amazing and faithful donors, we were able to provide compassionate and quality care for more than 9,600 patients in our medical clinic and more than 4,700 patients in our dental clinic. Mm-hmm. 903 of those were brand new medical clinic clients and patients, and 529 were new dental patients. We provided more than 600 children with new school uniforms, socks, shoes, and underwear for the beginning of the school year. Santa Secret Workshop that we talked about, we were able to give more than 3,000 gifts this year for children for Christmas. Our volunteers, when we calculated the volunteer hours, what we were able to save was over $104,000 based on their amazing dedicated labor and the time that they spent with us. And our in-kind gifts, so I think a lot of people think when you're supporting local ministries and organizations, you have to give financially. But when it is a food pantry clothing closet, you're also able to donate those in-kind gifts that we have available in our clothes closet. And with that, we were all of the items that were donated were valued at more than $960,000.
Wow.
That's an incredible number, and we're so grateful for that.
Let me ask you this. Tyler, Longview, basically the areas that we cover, have a huge giving community. There are other agencies that can also meet the kinds of needs we're talking about, maybe not in the same way, not necessarily for exactly the same clientele that you serve. How are your partnerships and your collaborations with other agencies? Do you do referrals? If somebody comes to you and says, well, we can probably help you more by referring you to this or that agency, do you do a lot of that as well?
We do. We actually have kind of a neat system. When a client comes for the first time, or if they're renewing their paperwork after they've been with us for a year to see if there are any updates in their household, we do a family needs survey. In that survey, they're asked questions like, are you at risk of being homeless? Do you need assistance in furthering your education? Are you interested in other opportunities? Are there other things that maybe we don't have on here that you need to talk about? Do you have furniture needs? Do you have other specific needs? And then we have correlating resource sheets for each of those things, whether it be utility assistance, housing assistance, education assistance, other food pantries. And we give those resources out because we know that even though we are as helpful as we can be, we aren't meeting everyone's needs, you know, all of their needs.
Sure.
And so we love to be able to give out the information for our friends and our community that are able to meet the needs that maybe we aren't necessarily capable of at this time.
Danielle, I believe you have answered my question light years better than I anticipated. And this would probably, I'm thinking, be a good time to bring up something else that you have going on at St. Paul, and that is the community-centered health home. Is what you're talking about tied into that, or is that a separate project, or are they kind of linked together?
So it's kind of linked together. Dr. Valerie Smith is kind of leading that movement.
She was the guest we had on last time.
Yes, yeah. She's fabulous. I'm so glad she was here. And she's doing an amazing job. Obviously, I can't elaborate like she can on the CCHH program. She's a pro. But I do know that they are continuing their plan with CCHH. One of the more recent implementations of some of the strategies they were working on when she spoke with you all last was the Food Security Council of Smith County. And something that they're doing in our clinic is they are screening for food insecurity. So there is actually a question now that our physicians will ask families, are you food insecure? Do you have enough food? That's another way they're tackling medical issues in the community, is making sure that children have access to healthy foods to keep their bodies healthy so that we have less patients coming through our clinics.
Mm-hmm. And the community-centered health home, as I understand it, is basically about helping to tackle various factors that affect children's health.
Absolutely. So if a child or their parent or guardian says, actually, yes, you know, we are experiencing food insecurity, immediately they're able to send them next door from our medical clinic to the food pantry and get healthy food. So it's a great little system.
All right. Moving on to support, we've talked about some of this already. As you put it, I believe the adjective you used was fabulous volunteers.
Yes.
And you can always use more.
Of course.
If you want to volunteer with St. Paul in any way, shape, or form, I guess you just need to make that phone call or drop by the office and see if you'd be a good fit for the St. Paul and vice versa, and you can go from there.
Yes, we do actually have a volunteer coordinator. Her name is Louie-Ann Nichols, and you are absolutely encouraged to call us and talk with her about some volunteer opportunities. I spoke with her yesterday, and I know right now we have some available slots in our clothing closet that we're really needing some volunteers. So if anybody has the desire to learn more about that, definitely give us a call and ask for Miss Louie-Ann. I know she'd be happy to inform you about those opportunities.
Sure thing. Talking with Danielle Atterbury with St. Paul Children's Foundation, I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. St. Paul, located on East Richard Street in Tyler, east side of town between Front and Irwin. Phone number is 903-595-5525. The website is stpaulchildren.org. Let's get into those financial gifts. You'll always gladly accept money. I'm sure you can donate online. And there are different ways that you can support St. Paul financially as well.
Yes.
Monthly, quarterly?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. We have an amazing support system, but you know, with a growing need, there is the growing need for financial support. We have wonderful programs, we have wonderful staff members, and we couldn't do this without the financial support of our friends in our community. A special giving circle we have is called our Guardian Circle. That is $1,000 or more annually. So I know that seems like, oh wow, $1,000, that's a lot. I'm not sure if I could do that. But not just individuals can be guardians. Your business can be a guardian.
Mm.
Your church group can be a guardian. Your church itself could be a guardian. You know, your family could pull together and be a guardian of St. Paul Children's Foundation. And so I think that $1,000 can be, ooh, that seems like you're asking a lot of us, Danielle Atterbury, but that's $3 a day. I mean, I can go to the local coffee shop and get a coffee for $3 a day, and I could sacrifice that and then help so many people throughout East Texas with that $3 a day donation. It doesn't seem like much, but it adds up quickly.
Mm-hmm. Certainly something to think about. Now, as it happens, this coming Thursday, you're going to be having a luncheon honoring the Guardian Circle participants from 2018. That's locked in. Too late to be a part of that now, but it's not too early to be thinking about maybe giving that $1,000 or more and being eligible for the Guardian Circle luncheon that is going to be coming up in 2020. Just
absolutely
kind of one of the little perks and benefits of being a big giver to St. Paul.
Yes, and of course we love to say thank you. I mean, we can't thank people enough for supporting our mission. As a nonprofit organization, we rely heavily on private donations and foundations, and we couldn't do this without you all. So if you are listening and you already support St. Paul Children's Foundation, I do want to extend a personal thank you for that, because we can't thank you all enough. And if you're considering supporting St. Paul Children's Foundation, we appreciate you as well.
Mm-hmm. Again, talking to Danielle Atterbury with St. Paul Children's Foundation, I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. And coming up, we think in late April or early May, the date is yet to be determined, you have a golf tournament. Not everybody likes golf tournaments. Sometimes it just seems as though they do. They certainly have just been a huge factor in fundraising all around East Texas and elsewhere. What can we tell people about the golf tournament right now? Just maybe to check the website or Facebook page or what have you for sponsorship and tournament play opportunities and an actual date?
Yes. So right now we're looking at mid-April as the potential.
Okay, mid-April.
Yes. But absolutely, we're going to be keeping everyone updated. The meetings are happening this week on determining that date. So within the next 2 weeks, our website and our social media platforms will definitely have that date posted. We're on Facebook and Instagram, so.
All righty, can't go wrong there. Golf tournament sometime in April, maybe pencil it in for now for sometime in mid-April, and keep checking that website and social media for more information. And the website, of course, stpaulchildren.org, and from there you can just get about pretty much everywhere you want to go. Few minutes left in the show, and meeting the needs of the future. Time after time, as we bring different nonprofit agencies, human needs agencies in to talk on this show, we hear the same thing. The need is not going away, and it is, in fact, growing and evolving. Tyler and your surrounding area aren't going to look the same in the next year or 5 or 10 years, and that calls for a strategic plan of some kind. Now, I understand that you're in the very early stages of putting a strategic plan together, but what are some of the things you've done along those lines so far, and what do you hope to accomplish once that strategic plan's in place?
Sure. So we are working on our 3 year strategic planning right now. We kind of do that in 3 year chunks. And so we are looking at extending the reach of St. Paul Children's Foundation. Obviously, we're doing, our staff and our volunteers are doing a wonderful job implementing our programs, our summer programs, the CCHH initiative, which has been a huge new factor in our strategic planning. But yes, as we continue with these meetings, we are working diligently to make sure that all of our programs are running smoothly, and that as the needs arise, we create solutions.
Here's a question for you. I picture your volunteers and staff and board members and what have you being the participants in the strategic plan. Are there ways that the community can get involved as well?
Well, obviously, with volunteer opportunities, the community could definitely be engaged in that way. As far as the actual strategic planning process, I'm not sure about volunteer opportunities specifically regarding that, but I do know that you could reach out to our executive director, Charlene McGee, if you did have any questions about strategic planning.
Okay. Talking to Danielle Atterbury with St. Paul Children's Foundation, we've pretty much covered everything, but maybe it's time to just kind of review some of the things we've talked about. It all began in the 1980s with a little boy on a bicycle. Can I go to church here? And bang, 25 some odd years later, look what you've done, serving about 30 counties. Not every service you offer is offered within all 30 counties, but how you have grown is just really, to me, it's always been absolutely amazing. And if you have a need or know of someone who has a need, why don't we just kind of go over some of the things that are available? Again, the food pantry, the clothing closet, pediatric medical and dental clinics. There is a summer program. Let's talk about that for just a moment. Is it too early to sign up for the summer program, or is there a window of opportunity to get involved with that?
If you're interested now, I would definitely reach out to Miss Jackie Erlinson at St. Paul. You can call that main number, and our amazing administrative assistant, Griselda, can assist you in reaching Jackie, or she can answer more of your questions regarding sign-ups for the summer program.
Okay, khakis for kids, and I believe there's a specific date in June that you have to... Yeah.
That's correct. So the first Saturday after school lets out is when we do registration for khakis for kids. So there's two opportunities. There, an opportunity to either be served or to serve. So if anyone is interested in volunteering for that, specifically if you are bilingual, that would make you extra wonderful to us, because that's super important in our neighborhood.
Okay. And as it happens, we're just about out of time.
Okay.
A minute ago, I thought we had a few minutes left, and how time flies. But As we wrap up the show, it's been a pleasure and really, again, an education for me and I hope for our listeners talking to you. Danielle Atterbury with St. Paul Children's Foundation, our guest this morning on In Focus. Thanks so much for joining us and getting us up to date.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
You bet. Again, Danielle Atterbury, St. Paul Children's Foundation, our guest this morning. I'm John Sims. Thank you for joining us. See you again next week on In Focus.